You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank you so much for helping us sing this evening. I've had a great time so far. I hope you have.
Welcome. You probably noticed Jackson Street's locked down. I'm telling you, when they get locked down, we have a lot of empty seats in here. We overload the bus with them. Glad to have you. I know we have some first-time visitors here tonight. So if you're here for the first time, would you hold your hand up? First time you've been to Rec Room?
Yes.
All right. They're going to hand you a little blue card. If you will fill that out and drop it in the purple box that's will be on the table when you leave tonight, that table where you came in and signed in and or got your A-slip signed or whatever. If you'll drop that in there, and you'll be receiving the Luke's newsletter. We just took the new one. We stay a little behind on them, but anyway, to the printer today, and we'll be getting them out in the mail in 2 or 3 days as soon as he calls us, and we can get them to you. And that'll kind of keep you up on what's going on in the rec room and this type of thing. We always, every year, have a big Christmas party in the rec room and have a lot of door prizes and some giveaways and this type of thing. In fact, I run into a guy this week, one of the classes that said a couple of years ago he won a $25 gift certificate. Yeah, here he is right there. Evidently he didn't read on that because he's supposed to split it with me, and he just, instead of him splitting it with me, he just split. spent it all on himself. But anyhow, let me thank you for taking your caps off. I appreciate that. Saw some guy with the University of Texas cap on. I guess he lost the bet and had to wear it. Just want to welcome you and two or three things. That purple box I mentioned about dropping this card into has another function. And that function is that it's the Rec Room Assistance Fund. Now, we don't pass the plate in the rec room. We don't take an offering at all. But what we do is make it available that if you would like to give to the Lord to help somebody, then that box is where you put your money in. Now, any money that goes into that box goes to rec room people. It doesn't go for donuts, doesn't go for coffee, doesn't go for cold drinks. It goes for people. And God's not broke, so I'm not up here to beg for that money at all. I will tell you that if you want a blessing, then you give. If you don't want one, then keep that $1.298 in your pocket. If you happen to be on the other end of that and say, I have a need, then you need to let us know. And I need to explain that us. You don't need to let us know because I'm not part of that group. But you need to know Pam and Rick sitting at the back. And Craig is not here tonight. But those are the two people. Three ex-inmates handle that money. And so you tell them your situation, and they will vote on that and see if it merits them helping you. So you know where they are now, and so if you have that need, you get with them after the meeting. Breakfast, Saturday morning.
Yay!
Here, 9 o'clock. If you haven't been to the breakfast, you missed something. Best breakfast in town, and it's free. And come, and we'll have some preaching and singing and then a whole lot of eating. And we'll welcome you. Help us again, if you would, with the butt cans, just put butts in them, please. Don't throw them in the grass. Don't throw them on the sidewalk. We've got the cans out there for that. But also, if you would, don't put paper goods in those cans. If you'll empty them and put them in the trash, then you'll help our people that are cleaning up and everything after you leave tonight. They'll still be here doing work. We would just appreciate that a whole bunch. I mentioned that thing of the breakfast and the good cooking. Somebody sent me this today about the old gentleman. You know, we don't have as many good cooks as we used to have because the girls don't. We've got microwaves and microwave lunches that you can buy at Walmart. But back when the ladies used to just cook and cook stuff from scratch, it told about a gentleman who was really in his last days. He knew that his life was slowly departing from him. And he was lying in his bed. He smelled the aroma of some home-baked cookies. And he knew that his wife was downstairs baking cookies because he just loved the smell of them. And even though in his weakened condition, he got himself up out of bed. He, with some pain and fear, he got down those stairs, worked his way into the kitchen, was reaching out to get one of those cookies, and his wife hit him with a spatula and said, "Leave him alone, her for the funeral." Some things never change, you know that. They just never change. Anyway, we've got some real special music for you tonight. And so we want our special music to come, and we're looking forward to this. Rhonda, here's our girl. She's going to sing for us. Give her a hand.
Hi, y'all.
Hi.
Hope you enjoy this.
true. Very true. We're going to, if you have your Bible tonight, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. If you don't and would like to have a Bible, if you lift your hand, we've got some people that will bring you one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Anybody else need a Bible? Now, let me say this for those of you that needed a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, then you keep that as a gift from the rec room. You can just have that one. If you've got one now and just didn't bring it, then you bring it next time. Now, because I'm going to tell you, I take my Bible to places where I'm going to hear preaching. And the reason I do, I guess my pastor run off. He was sitting right down there. Huh? Oh, okay. Got an emergency. Okay. Anyway, what I was going to say, now I can really say it because he's not here. Yeah. I'm going to check him out. Well, here he comes, see. Okay. So, see, that's why I take my Bible. I'm going to check you out. I learned a long time ago, if somebody says you can trust me, I don't. God tells me, man, I'll never lie to you. I think he just has. You know. But anyhow, you need to check out what's being said. And there's no excuse, because you can get a Bible. And if, like I say, if you don't have one, and tonight after the service you didn't get one now, and you say, Lennon, I don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. We'll do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to jump to about three different books. Going to read about four different verses here. Kind of connect them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says this: for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now skip down to verse 23. Paul said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. See, first he said it was just foolishness or power. Then he said to the Jews, they stumble over it. The cross bothered them. It wasn't the law. It wasn't the Ten Commandments. So they stumbled on it, and the Greeks thought, man, that's a bunch of bull. That's just foolishness. Now turn with me to the book of Galatians. You go to 2 Corinthians and then Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, the last chapter in verse 14, says this: but God forbid, Paul is writing this one also, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul put tremendous emphasis on the cross. Now turn to the book of Philippians. That's two books more to the right, Ephesians and then Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 18. He said, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Notice in the scripture we read, and we could read 10 times this many, you see Christ and the cross, Christ and crucifixion, Christ and his death associated. They're hand in hand. Christ and the cross go together. But let me tell you where we are in 2010. We've got those who preach Christ without the cross. And we've also got those who preach the cross without Christ. Let's take the first one, preaching Christ without the cross. This is that global, that peace on earth thing that mankind is going to do. That man can do all of these wonderful things. We got the social gospel, which means get rid of disease, have a great welfare system, make sure everybody's got some money, We'll practice a sermon on the mount. We'll wear a chain that's got WWJD on it for what would Jesus do. We'll have our car bumpers saying the same thing. We'll repeat the Lord's Prayer before the ball game. We will recognize Jesus as a healer. We'll recognize Jesus as a counselor. We'll recognize Jesus as a leader. We're trying to eliminate poverty and banish all diseases. And I'm constantly amazed at the people that want to, that spend all the money trying to cure AIDS. I always wonder why nobody wants to prevent it. Hey, we can prevent that, see? Let's work on prevention. Now, I'm going to tell you, a guy told me here one time, right after I moved to Odessa, and I went to a meeting, and this guy, I just met him, and he was a likable guy, and he said, I'll tell you what. He said, brother, I need a healing. He said, wouldn't you like to have a healing? And I said, no, sir. And he said, why not? I said, because I don't want to be sick. See, I hope I never get healed because I don't want to be sick. I'd rather prevent it than to try to cure it. But we talk about what Jesus can do. He's the nice guy. He will help you do this. You can have this good life. And the amazing thing about it, this will work in America. It'll work in any country that's got a free enterprise system. It just doesn't work in countries that don't, and most don't. The Bible is a world book, and whatever you quote today in Odessa, Texas, has got to be true in Delhi, India. See? So, we have a Christ, but we don't talk about the cross. And let me tell you why we don't talk about the cross. You don't hear many of the big TV preachers and the pastors of mega churches. They talk about praising God and doing this, but they don't talk about the cross. Because the cross reminds everybody of their sin. That's why there was a cross. To acknowledge the cross, we have to acknowledge that you and I are sinners. And that man sins. What we're having is people are teaching that man is basically good. And we just need to refine it. Give him some education and he'll be all right. Had train robbery down in Mississippi. And one of the professors from the university happened to be down there, and they's all gathered around. He said, that just shows you. He said, it's probably done by a bunch of roughnecks and people that don't have any education. Said they stole this stuff out of the boxcar because they didn't have any education. And the sheriff said, I believe I agree with you. He said, well, I'm glad to see you agree, Sheriff. He said, that's right. If they'd had education, they'd stole the train. See, all for the first 6 years that I went into prison, I went into people that all had college degrees. They were over here at Big Spring, Texas. It was a white-collar, nonviolent bankers, attorneys, accountants, people that I couldn't have got in their office in the free world because they're too busy for me, was glad to see me every Friday night for the first time. These were professional people that had been wealthy. Now, years ago, we had an attorney in the state of Texas, some of you older people remember, named Percy Foreman. And he was down in Houston, Texas, and I lived in Angleton a while, and Mr. Foreman came down to defend a rancher there in Angleton in Brazoria County, which is the largest county in the state of Texas. In fact, but the judge says, Mr. Foreman, everybody knew Percy Foreman, he's a big guy, white-haired, and the judge said, Mr. Foreman said, we're just so glad to have you in our county. He said, I suppose your client is a rich man. And Percy said, he was, Your Honor, he was. Once you hired Percy, you wasn't rich anymore. Hey. But we keep thinking that we can solve all of the problems. that man is basically good. Let me tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said man's filthy. Now, we don't want to hear that. See, we'd rather say, I know I'm not perfect. Aren't you impressed with that? Why, goodness, I thought you was perfect. And now you're telling me you're not perfect? Nobody wants to say, I'm filthy. I'm sorry. I'm no good. I'm rotten. God said about Job, God said to the devil, he said, this is the best man on earth. And Job said, I hate myself. Now, you want some good self-image psychology? Grasp that. See, once we learn that, then we start depending on Jesus. As long as I think old Leland can do it. See, that's why we talk about drug and alcohol. And I shared with somebody this week that I come in this town 1 month short of 50, a drunk, flat broke, lost another good business, gone through another bad divorce. I don't know if the divorce caused loss of business caused the divorce. All I know is I was on bottle. Let me tell you a good thing about bottle. Only one way to go, baby. Thank God. Thank God that it was. We preach these things about what Jesus can do without ever facing the sin question. If we don't get back to this, people, if we're just going to straighten up a little bit, if we're just going to obey the law a little bit, the way the law is getting in, anybody can obey it. Except for the one thing, and that's, we're going to get everybody's got any drugs on them, you know. We're going to, we trained our policemen to protect the citizens. Now they've got to protect the criminal from the criminal because they don't let him carry that drug around. Goodness gracious. Man, he's got some drugs on him. How much he got? Oh, not much. Well, that's too much. See, we always go at it backward. We're preaching to Christ without cross. Now let's go to the other side. On the other side, we have the religionist. He's preaching the cross without a Christ. Hey, he's got the Ten Commandments that he's going to walk to. He's got some rituals he's going to obey. He's got some ordinances that he's going to fulfill. He's going to abstain. He's going to sacrifice. He's got a religion of works. If I do this and I do this and I dot the I's and I cross the T's, I'm going to get to heaven. Probably the greatest example of this was a woman by the name of Mother Teresa. Probably nobody sacrificed and put her own self through the trouble that she did. And let me tell you what is so sad about that. No place did she ever talk about trusting Jesus Christ as her Savior. Talked all the time about God. See, but the devils believe in God and tremble. Jesus said, I'm the way. And here was somebody that had the cross without the Christ. We've got a bunch of that. There are people who've crawled on their knees till they bled to get to some shrine to worship. There are people in foreign countries that are must do without and sacrifice like you and I would not even understand about that type of sacrifice for their religion. They will give it up. They will do anything for it. But they have no Christ. They just got the cross. The monks take a vow of poverty. I understand that. I didn't take a vow. Somebody asked me. I told them one time. I said, we got a non-profit organization. It wasn't planned that way, but that's what we got. But the monks take a vow of poverty because this is going to get us someplace. No personal. Here's what it is. No personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. I think God today, and I believe in rules. We need them. We got to have them. Let me tell you what. I'm pretty lenient on you until you get my stuff. You know, that's the way we are. I get the fries. When we were going into Big Spring, they had a big argument. And back then, they weren't many drug dealers in Big Spring. It was real near. This is before the crackdown came. At that time, Big Spring was the only prison west of Fort Worth in the entire state of Texas. And it didn't have fence around it. In fact, I asked a guy one time, I said, how you know where you can go and where you can't go? And he said, well, it's curbs. We can't cross that curb. Another boy said, you got curbs 6 inches high and 5 years long. Can't go across that curb. There's a guy, and I hear from him nearly every week, at least every 2 weeks. Was in my first Bible class I ever did over there. That's over 25 years ago. His was the largest drug bust in the history of Seattle, Washington. Still holds the record between $20 and $40 million worth of cocaine. Depend on which paper you read, the morning paper or the evening papers, whether he had $20 million or $40 million. Let me tell you, you know how much time this guy got? 5 years. Today, they would have thrown him under the prison for that kind of stuff. It was only in the early 90s that people started getting those long sentences. Yes, had another guy now was serving 6 years, and he had 18 kilos of cocaine come out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We didn't have many drug dealers in there. The ones we had were the big time. Now, we didn't have anybody that had been driving a panel truck to Permian, you know. These guys were handling the big stuff. But the bankers, I come in there one Friday night and they've got a big split in the prison, in the religious side. And the bankers were mad at all the drug dealers. Said, you sold drugs to kids. That's sorry. You're sorry. And I'm sitting there just going like this. Here's a guy serving time for embezzlement, for stealing the money, and he's mad at the guy selling drugs to kids. Kid probably couldn't have bought it if a banker hadn't financed it. Boy, we're big on judging the next guy. See? Yeah. This is okay, except don't do it to me. My stuff. Don't bother it, see? Let me tell you something about the cross. There's no magic on the cross. Thieves died on them. People wear them around their neck. Some of them are pretty. But there's no magic about the cross. Let me tell you, the cross was nothing without the Son of God on it. There was only one cross that made any difference. Not crosses, just that one. And He paid that debt on the cross. And there's two things about Christ and the cross. One is that the cross revealed God's hatred for sin. You want to know how God felt about sin and if He just glossed over it? No way. His own Son had to die a horrible, slow death on the cross so you and I could get to heaven. Now, you can talk about the love of God all you want to, and we're going to talk about that. But let me tell you, in order to get there, you come by the way of the cross. And God hated sin so bad that somebody's going to, either all of us are going to die on that cross, or Christ can go pay our debt on that cross, but somebody's dying on the cross. See? So, that's God's hatred for sin. The other thing about that cross is it revealed God's love for sinners. Bible said, God commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, not while we was trying to straighten up, do good, quit using. He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This past week, I was sitting out at Ector County, and a lady had called who was a friend of another lady that wanted somebody to visit her grandson. And I kind of hate these deals. It's kind of like somebody said, take my son the Bible. Well, maybe your son don't want a Bible. You ever think about that? But anyhow, I said, yes, ma'am, I'll do that. And so I had the guy brought up to the law library. And I knew when he walked in that he's Aaron Brotherhood. Now, we're talking about big time, bad time. I thought, oh boy, how'd I get in this? We began to talk, and he looked at me like, what do you want to see me for? And so I asked him if he knew this lady, and he said, yes, do. She's a friend of my grandma's. And I said, well, grandma, called her, and she called me and asked me, like, to check on you. How can I help you? What can I do? I don't need anything. But we talked a little bit. We got to visiting some. And I said, I thought, I need to do this. And I just made myself do it. I had no heart in this. I'm going to tell you. But I thought, if I don't, one day when I stand before Jesus Christ, and He's going to say, did you tell that guy about Jesus? You didn't. So I asked him, I called him by name, and I said, has anybody ever showed you in the Bible how to be saved? He said, no, sir. And that didn't surprise me. I didn't figure they had. Now, the next question I asked, I knew that we was getting ready to end the conversation. I said, would you like for me to do that? Have you ever thought about that? And I figured this will wrap it up. And he said, sir, I think about it every day. Think about it every day. I didn't even have a Bible in there. I am kicking myself. So I start writing it down on a sheet of paper on the backside of his visitation slip. I'm writing it down. And we're going over the Roman road. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. I got to the end of that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, would you like to do that? And to my surprise, he said, yes, I would. I said, okay, go ahead. I mean, I am really just out of it, man. And with no coaching from me, I didn't quote the sinner's prayer for him. We bowed our heads and he began to ask Jesus Christ to come in his heart and confess his sins. Now, let me tell you something. And some of you in here know this. Most of you don't. That might have signed his death certificate. Thank you. See, you don't get out of the ABs just because you want to quit. See, I've buried some of them. I've known some others that I attended their funeral. And it wasn't because they had an accident. I come out trolling. I said, I'm the most faithless, worthless guy in the world. Instead of saying, man, here's an opportunity. I thought, this guy turned me down. He'll whip me if I'm not careful. And I want to be nice. And he took all the reading material I'd give him. Just happened to have a sword of the Lord with me. I just gave him mine. Take that. I'll be back. As soon as I get back, I'll be back with you. We're going to talk some more. See, let me tell you, that's what it's all about. That cross. That at the cross, God loves sinners. He gave His Son. Second Corinthians 5:21 says this, that God hath made Him to be sin for us. That's stealing, gambling, cheating, adultery, homosexuality, drugs, you just name it. He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He said that who His own self bare our sins on the cross. Christ and the cross. That's where that justice and love comes together at the cross. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking around. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you were to die tonight, as best you know, you would not go to heaven. There's no reason for you to go to heaven. Would you just slip up your hand and say, Leland, and by that you say, Leland, pray for me. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Is there one in here tonight? Would you slip them up real quick? Real quick. Just pray for me. See your hand. Anybody else? I see yours. God bless you. Anyone else? Real quick. I see yours, sir. Yes, sir. You slip them up and put them down. Anyone else? Anyone else? We're going to pray just a second. Yes, sir. I see yours. Our Father. And I know there's some more, but our Father, tonight I want you to just touch the heart. Father, we come week in and week out, and sometimes I never want to get in the habit of doing this. I want to be thrilled every time we sing these songs and hear about Your Son and the cross. So, Father, tonight, for those lifted their hands and those that didn't, I pray Your Holy Spirit may give them the courage to just come tonight and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and get that ticket to heaven that You're offering them. Would you stand to your feet while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Just standing. And as Charles sings, I want you to come. Say, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I know that He died on the cross and paid my sin. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Would you come right now? Say, Leland, I want to be saved. I come to trust Christ as my Savior. You just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to come pray for somebody else. Come on. Still bad. We're going to be dismissed. Our Father, we pray for these that have come tonight. And we pray as much for those that didn't. Father, we pray that these decisions were made, and they were made down here at this altar, and they were made standing, either to serve you, walk with you, and live for you, or not to. So, Father, we pray that you just, we can't do it without you. So help us to surrender. The only way to win this battle is to surrender to you. So, Father, we pray that you just give them victory in their daily life, and bless those that should have made a decision and didn't. We pray you'd give them another opportunity, Father, in Christ's name. For those of you who like to have it, we give away a little pamphlet called What Have I Done? Goes over salvation, and What Do I Do Now? That deals with life after you've been saved. And you pick one up at the table when you go out tonight. God bless you. The bar is open. Thank you for coming.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.